Welcome. Glad you could join us for tonight's Rewind discussion, where each week we take a look back at the Sunday message and try to give an overview, kind of review, and then go into a time of discussion where we can seek to apply what God has been teaching us. So this last Sunday, we were in 1 Samuel chapter 7, back in the Old Testament, and we'll get to that in a minute, but I just wanted to welcome everybody, whether you're here in person with a small group, or if you're joining us online, or if you're listening to our radio station, 101.7 in the Menominee area. Just know that if you're not a part of a small group, that we have a number of small groups that meet in the area surrounding Menominee. There's one in Eau Claire, there's one in Durand, there's one in Colfax, and a bunch of other ones too. If you want to find out if there's one in your town or really close to you, you can get a hold of us at our office or take a look at our website, jfbelievers.com. But just wanted to welcome everybody tonight and hope that you're blessed with our discussion here. Just wanted to frame things up a little bit before we go to some clips from the sermon on Sunday. Really where we find ourselves here in this passage is Israel is in a bad place. We could just say they're stuck in the mud. And I wonder if you ever got your car stuck, driving around in the snow, or you went in the ditch. How long would you leave it there? I remember when I was a young kid, I got stuck in the ditch. I had nothing else to do. Immediately, I called my dad, and it was number one priority for both he and I to get that car out of the ditch. How long would we leave our vehicle in the ditch? Probably not long at all. The interesting thing about where the Israelites are in the story, though, they have been stuck in the ditch for 20 years. 20 years. And they haven't pulled themselves out. Nobody's came to their rescue. And the question is, why? Why are they in such a tough spot? And that's really the spot where we find ourselves in this chapter. It's Israel stuck in the ditch, and they want to get out, and they feel really bad about being there. And the question is, well, how do we get out of this? And so this chapter really centers on this idea of repentance. One of the core ideas in the Bible from start to finish is repentance. This thing that we can partake in where we turn away from the direction where we're going in our life and we turn toward God and move in his direction. It's physical, it's mental, it's spiritual, it's emotional. It's a matter of our life. It's a matter of our heart. It's an all-encompassing thing that we participate in. And what we get in this chapter is Samuel's version that he's going to teach Israel. His way of describing repentance is going to be the answer to the question for Israel, how do we get out of this ditch we're in? And so I hope as we review the message tonight and afterwards, if you're in a small group, as you discuss these things, that you'll find application for your heart in all this. And just pray you're blessed in all that. See you soon. I think if there's a New Testament verse that encapsulates what we're going to read tonight, it's a very famous one, James 4:8. And in it, James says this. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. How long has it been for us in this same condition of being outside of God's blessing, outside of his calling, outside of his promises for our life? How long have you been there? Apparently, you can stay there for a very long time and continue to live, continue to carry on, but something is just not right. And Israel is beginning to finally come to the acknowledgement of that in their life. Something very important about their grieving here, though, this lamenting that they're participating in, it doesn't just say that they grieved or they lamented. It makes it very clear. It says they lamented after the Lord. And if there was a first step to everything we're going to talk about today, it's this right here. They don't just feel bad. They've been feeling bad for 20 years.
Something is changing, though. They're feeling bad, and they're expressing that to God. There's an inner acknowledgement that my condition has something to do with God, or He has some answer or solution to the state of being that I find myself in. So they do it to the Lord. They're no longer in this position of saying, oh, I guess that's just life. It's just, you just keep living and keep trying and keep hoping. They've come to a different conclusion, that He has the answer. Maybe even that He is the answer. 2 Corinthians 7 speaks of two types of sorrow. Verse 10 of that chapter says there's a kind of sorrow that is worldly. It makes us feel bad, and we kind of regret maybe even the way that we're living, but there's also a holy kind of sorrow, one that leads us to confront our issues and to make a change in our life. And I think that's what Israel is experiencing here. It's a godly kind of sorrow. It's, I feel wrong and I feel bad, and this has something to do with my relationship with God or lack thereof. There's some connection there. See, they've tried to fix the problems using all kinds of different methodologies. They've tried to do everything that the nations around them have been doing, and it just never gave them the solution that they needed. It just was not helping. The world's way of doing things for the Israelites was never going to solve their ultimate problems, and it won't for any of us either. This is a God problem. And the Israelites now are taking the first step toward God, and it's grieving. It's an inner acknowledgement that things are not as they should be. Now, God is going to respond to their lamenting, but He's going to do so through His spokesman, Samuel. And so let's pick it up in verse 3. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all of your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord. And He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel here speaks for God and tells them that, yes, there is a problem. It's you guys. You're right, there is a problem here. It's your hearts. And he's offering, as God always does offer, a way back. And he explains what that's going to be. It's going to be, we could sum it up by saying it's going to be a repentance. It's going to be a change of direction. It's going to be a radical shift in the way that they are doing their life. And the way Samuel presents this now is, if you read what he's saying, the language is kind of a conditional statement. He says, if now you're going to return to the Lord, then do these things. Here's what you're to do. And he offers three things. Number one, put away the idols. Number two, prepare your heart. And number three, serve the Lord. Number one, put away the idols. Number two, prepare your heart. And number three, serve the Lord. I think all these things, if we read them, they're very intertwined. We can't just kind of, hey, we'll pick our two favorite ones and go with that. No, what he's offering is a bit of a package deal. All three of these overlap each other in their own way. So at the top of the list, number one, he says, put away the idols. Put away your foreign gods, he says. Warren Wiersbe says, anything in our lives that takes the place of God and commands the sacrifice and devotion that belong only to Him, it is an idol and it must be cast out. Idols in the heart are far more dangerous than idols in any temple. And this is what Samuel says. You have idols that you need to deal with. Now, what have they done? Well, they had simply taken in some of the worship of the gods of the nations around them. We're familiar with this if you're familiar with the Bible story at all. This is so common that they would do this. And in particular, he mentions two here, the Baal and Ashtaroth. They're from the Canaanite pantheon. Baal and Ashtaroth, they were two complementary male and female gods. Baal was the storm god, the sky god, and he would have control of the weather and the rain. Therefore, he would kind of be the one looked to for, hey, the crops come up when it rains, so we pray to Baal, we sacrifice to Baal, he gives us prosperity from the earth. Ashtaroth, the complementary female goddess, she was in control of fertility and war, and she was commonly known as the Queen of Heaven. She represented sensuality, and it's not hard to see why either of these gods were worshipped by the Israelites. There's really no mystery here. Now, this association with these gods was typically done like this. They would have an idol of said god or goddess in their house. Quite literally, a physical object representing that god or goddess in their house. And those of you who've been on Indian missions, we see this all over there. A real physical idol. So putting them away would have been a very physical act. We remove that from a house, we fill up the dumpster, we destroy it, we burn it, whatever that may be. But it's also an act of the heart. See, to take that idol off the shelf and put it in the dumpster is going to require an act of the will, an act of the heart, if you've become attached to it. And isn't that the truth for the idols in our own lives? We become attached to things, to stuff. Things that make us feel good, things that help us succeed. Things that give us fun experiences here in this world. And we begin to, just like the Israelites so many times, we begin to serve them, and they grab our attention, and they grab our calendar, and they grab our money, and therefore they have our worship, and therefore we fall under their control. Bad things, maybe evil things when they gain control over our lives, yes. They become idols that stand between us and God. And this can be anything. We've talked about this so many times, not to belabor this, but this could be anything. This could be your education. This could be your family. This could be your vacation. This could be your camper. This could be your fishing pole. This could be your TV. The list goes on and on. It's endless, really. Whatever's got a hold of your heart, though, and demands your attention and worship, that's an idol. And so they physically remove these things from their homes. Put away the idols, get rid of them. They tore it down. They stopped giving themselves and their passions. And when they did this, and when we do this, what that does is creates a vacuum in our life, a righteous vacuum. Anytime you remove something from your calendar, or you stop subscribing to, you gain control of something that was lost, your time, your finances, your headspace, and creates a vacuum, which is part of the preparation process. Number two, prepare your heart. Second thing that Samuel says, and I think what he's saying is, get rid of the idols and keep them out. Maintain that posture. Maintain that vacuum. Don't let it get filled with new stuff. Don't just put one thing out of your life to let it be filled up instantly with some other new hobby or passion or entertainment. He's saying don't let new idols creep in. Maintain that space and time in preparation for what God will do. Change your mind where it starts to stray. Bring it back into line. Recognize your lack, your need in this time so that you prepare yourself for God to do something in it. And if there was one overlooked understanding, I think, in this process of returning to the Lord, I think it's really this one. But he includes it. It's like Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on heavenly things, not things of this earth. This is focusing our gaze and our direction Godward. Lastly now, is serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. That's his third point on the list. Serve God the way he asks. With your heart in the right place, put your hands in the right place. Let your calendar now be arranged by God himself. Let the direction of your passions be Godward. Let the spending of your bank account flow in the direction that God says. Do what he asks and do all that he asks. And don't miss it here. Samuel kind of ends all this and says, serve the Lord only. Only. And if we're going to put ourselves in the seat of the Israelites here and say, this is something I'm in this, and I feel a need to do, don't miss how he ends this. If your heart is not going to be only for the Lord, according to Samuel, you're going to have some stumbles here. It's not going to work. This is going to have to be a decision for you to say, I'm all in on this. This is no longer going to be divided up. My attention, my passions, my life, it's going to be only for the Lord. And again, do all three of these things without leaving anything out. Put away idols. Prepare your heart and serve the Lord. Samuel knew it. Unless the people were going to return to the Lord with all their hearts, there's no point in talking about anything else. But if you give all of your heart to God, then we got a lot to talk about. Then there's plenty we can talk about. Unless that foundation is set in your life, in my life, we have nothing to build on. Have you strayed from him? How many years has it been? Are you far from him? Well, God graciously offers you a way back, and we see it here. Take a step toward God. Move toward him.